as a voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart.
Amen. Hallelujah. I just thank God for another exciting training day. This is a day that the Lord has made, y'all. Amen. Brand new, never been used before. Amen. And we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Giving honor to the Lord God Jehovah, to his Son, Jesus Christ, and the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. To Pastor O, Gerald Overall, my producer, amen, and his lovely wife and friends for Running for Christ, and amen, Gospel Tabernacle and Word of Faith and Great Faith and all the different churches and synagogues now listening, amen, praise God, hallelujah, for my new friends and all. I say praise the Lord. I thank God for you all. Amen. This is another exciting day, and I'm looking forward to whatever the Lord has to say to us. You know, a lot of times I go back and I listen to what was said, and I be taking notes, because believe me, what I have on my notes and what the Holy Ghost have in his notes, two different themes, and I just thank God for that. Amen. Because, see, he knows that there who's going to be listening now and who's going to be listening later, and even those that may hear this after the rapture, which we ain't, in my mind, I'm telling you, saints, we ain't getting there fast enough. I'm going to be glad this ain't a democratic process, because I was voted in. This would be a done deal. I mean, we can go on. Amen. But let us go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you for this marvelous opportunity that you have provided We thank you, Jesus, for the submission of the death on the cross that you endured, amen, to purchase this opportunity with your own blood. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for being our guide, our comforter, our keeper, our director, our teacher, our instructor, and our friend, amen, that sticks close to the brother. Father God, we ask you right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding that we will know more what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you already have in us, your saints, the great and exceeding power you have made available for those that submit and obey you. Father God, I ask that you would strengthen with might all those yet going through bereavement, amen, that you would strengthen them in their heart, particularly those, bless those that are in Christ, and let them know that we are approaching the reunion. We're getting closer day by day, but it is, amen, there are still those that you want to reach to be included in your family. Father God, we're asking right now that you give us the knowledge of your will and the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we will be fruitful in every good work according to you that is approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you to bless me that my tongue be that of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of your people. Let it be all of you and none of me. And I say this right now in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I mean, this is something that today, you know, for me to call a person, I have friends, and then I have friends. You know, sadly, another one of my friends, listen, saints, try to avoid, and I know it's when you program, it's hard not to say you lost someone, particularly in Christ. If you know, they passed, they crossed over, they early arrivals, you haven't lost them. You only lose somebody, you're going to be in heaven and they're going to be in hell. That's how I see it. But, you know, I haven't lost many people that I know of. I don't think I've lost anyone. They just got there ahead of me, and they are, man, I've been watching these YouTube flicks on the Hubble scope, and I'm looking at the vastness of the universe. I really can't wait for this James Webb telescope to open up. You know, there's something in the first chapter of the book of Genesis that I think people overlook. You know, we're in the middle of two expansions of water, of light. See, we might see it through a telescope, but only God truly knows, and those that have gone over really understand what they're looking at. But it says something about God. When I look at the numbers, they talk about, oh, that's only 5,300 light years away. That's a long, that means you can't live long enough to get there. That's crazy. And yet, you know, this recent saint passed, and this thing, she can go and visit Alpha Centauri. I think that's like 250 light years away. That's about 25 million miles. Go there in less than the time that it takes for you to blink your eyes and go back to the throne of God and praise him for his magnitude of greatness. We're moving forward to something literally beyond our imagination. This is what I'm trying to paint a picture of. Everything that I have said, everything that I have recorded from day one has been about this, because that's what the Bible is about. It's about what life really is. This little stuff we do down here, this ain't nothing. How many people you know, we watched Jesus in Acts chapter 8 fly away. How many people you know have done that? Huh? There's people that claim they do, but I'm going to tell you, they better not be around me, because I call them, I snatch them demons off from under them, and they'll hit the ground like a rock. I learned that from Lester Summerall. Amen. He said he was over in Africa, and this guy started levitating, and he asked the Lord what he doing. The Lord told him, go up there and just touch his toes and say, Jesus, same dude, drop like a rock. You know, that upset a lot of people. See, we're talking. The point here, God wants us to master, is love. Your challenges in life are always going to come back to two things: loving your neighbor, which is everybody on the planet, anywhere at any time, and that's challenging, because you know you don't think that in those terms. The guy, you go to the airport and you see a guy you've never seen before, maybe come from another country, and he's got issues and attitudes, and God wants you to love him. Now, that don't mean you throw away your defenses, you know. I mean, And people have a misinterpretation of that. Read Luke 22:36. The night Jesus was arrested, he told his disciples to go get arms. If you get a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs, you will read about some wars that went on that had they not been fought, you would not have the Bible. You would just have to believe what somebody told you. And see, and I'm not that type of person. I'm not just, you know, God, that's why God shocked me spiritually like he did. He didn't do nothing. He joyfully shocked me. That's what he did. And I tell people, when I tell them God go visit them, I'm like, it won't be nothing evil. You know, it won't be nothing evil. See, to experience evil from God, you really have to know him. I mean, know him, see. You know, not just, once you didn't experience him, then come the whooping. When you disobey, when you've seen some things and did some things with God, that you can't go back to playing stupid. If you do, he's going to let you know you're stupid. But anyway, all right, we're still on this subject that the whole Bible really deals with, in both the Old and New Testament. And apparently I'm not the only one on this particular subject, because I've been listening to different teachers, and it's amazing that God is, this is what he's saying. He's drawing a picture of how the Old Testament, amen, and the New Testament are basically one. What the disciples preached, and I'm going to go through that in another time, in another whole session, probably in the next series I do, on how they extracted all the Old Testament scripture to build the New Testament. The Testament, this is for the benefit of new people. Okay, what you have is an agreement. When you accepted Jesus Christ, those of you that have given cards, the little prayer that you prayed on the back of there, and those that have prayed at the end or have ever prayed, amen, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, that created a contract agreement between you and God, commonly called a covenant. But that's what it is. It's a contract where God agrees to take care of you. Amen. There's some stipulations in the contract, a.k.a. the Bible. Amen. But particularly when you're new in Christ, you get a lot of leeway. You get more leeway than those of us that's been in this a long time will get. You know, I don't get a lot of leeway. I have to pray more. Not, you know, God won't let me get away with a two-minute prayer. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, okay? Because the more to whom much is given, much is expected. You know, folks been sitting in church 25 years and then they're struggling and catching all kind of hell. Why? Because they don't want to step up to the level that God expects them to be in. I'm going to tell you about God. He'll let you stoop. Until you get up and say, okay, God, what I need to do. And believe me, the classic case is Job. Job had prophet-level experience with God. You got to really go through the book of Job and listen to what he is saying in details. Even though God got on his case, and this is the thing, in Job 38:2, what do we call a person with no knowledge? A dummy. God would just be, he'd just say, you with no knowledge. Same thing. That's in my book it is. You know, he wasn't really just getting down because he said Job didn't sin. So, you know, he spoke right about him, but he didn't like the way he stood up. See, I've been there. I remember clowning on God. I got hit with a tax bill from the IRS, and it was 10 grand and, you know, 10,000 at that time, didn't know how. Shoot. And I'm up there crying before the Lord, you know, pleading with him. And he just, and I thought if he could have backhanded me, he could have. He was like, dude, you better come to me like I'm God. I ain't never did that again. Because God, listen, let's get into this. Because I want you to understand, this is about helping you to have fellowship with God in a way that draws you closer. Confident in him, being more sensitive to him, because you know the description in Proverbs chapter 3 says, in all your ways, the ways you go, the paths you follow, acknowledge him. That means when you go shopping, acknowledge him. You get ready to make a big expense, acknowledge him, and he will absolutely direct your path. there's a process to this. You can't go 7 days a week never talking to God, never communicating with God, and that happen. It might, you might, when you're new in Christ, it'll happen, but after a while, you'll start noticing you mess up more, you make bad decisions, and that's because you're not acknowledging him. Why? Because God is not just, you're not doing that to get to heaven. Jesus paid for you to get to heaven. So what you're doing is learning to be sensitive to him, because God is just like we're looking out into the universe. Think about this. God is going to expand into the universe. You don't think million years down the road. He does. He know how many people are going to be born in that time. He know what they're going to be doing, where they're going to be doing. And he know what you're going to be doing during that time. You make it. I mean, they don't do much in hell, you know, and but they have, they social distance in hell, too. They got to be lonely. But anyway, all right, so let's get back to the basis of this. Now, this started out with Jesus asking in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 16. Jesus, let me run through this right quick. Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? And then Peter answered. Eventually, they said he was one of the prophets, Elijah, for the new people. Elijah never died. He's still alive today. Man's over, I don't know, 3,500 years old, and he's still alive today. Never died. He rose up into heaven. See, you got to get your mind to the supernatural. We read the definition of supernatural, and it says a manifestation or event attributed to some force beyond scientific understanding or the laws of nature. And that's just it. You know, the simple fact that we sitting on the earth spinning 17,000 miles per hour, didn't nobody kickstart it, and it's still spinning. But if we go to 18,000 miles per hour, we die. If we go to 16,000 miles per hour, we die. If we move closer to the sun, we die. If we move too far from the sun, we die. That is supernatural. These are the things, guys. See, we're in the baby stage. We're in the sixth grade in an education standard. We haven't got to the collegiate level. Now, okay, so Elijah never died, but that's what, why they called him, asked, was he one of the prophets? They expected him to return. They expected the Messiah. And like with most of us, they had that limited expectation. You know, they have, you know, it's just like, you know, you got one of the cultures down here teach when you die, you get 72 virgins. And last thing I need is 72 women having a menstrual cycle at the same time. If that won't make you crazy, trust me. No, you don't even want that. That don't even, it might sound like fun, but it ain't. Ask Solomon, got him in trouble. Amen. Wisest man ever. All right. So they asked Jesus who he was, and he said he's the Christ. Now, Christ, in the Old Testament, there's only a few references to the term Messiah. That's in Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. And the Hebrew definition of Messiah is anointed. And we talked about how anointing and being anointed means somebody appointed you power. And in this case, it's the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, Yahweh, you know, Jehovah, you know. There are no vowels for the FYI. There are no vowels in the Hebrew language. That came from what is called the Tetragrammaton. It was something they saw once and inscribed in stone, and God made it clear that it was his name. And actually, it's no Y. It's an I, you know. But anyway, and they created the name because we speak English. I don't speak Japanese or Japtalian or that. So don't let nobody get you caught up in all that. Because the name you need that demons recognize, the authority you need is Jesus. See, God put the power in his hand. It's the same as if I were to give, I don't have any children here now, minor children, but you give your children authority in your household, in your name, you give them your pen to your checkbook, then they have the power. Okay, that's what God did. Now, that's because God is omnipresent, okay? He can focus energy and create an image of him, but in and of himself, he is omnipresent. We are basically like a cell inside his body. some of the bad cells do bad cells do when we same way we dispose of them, he disposed of them. So, you know, you don't want to be a bad cell. All right. So we're talking about the Christ. So we done crossed over. We started out in the Old Testament and showing the references of the anointing, trying to illustrate what that means, how showing different events of men using the power of God and having access to that, because we're moving to a place where we will have full-time access. Like, we want it now, but this is not the time. God has decided that. Because he need us to understand. He wanted a track record, understood, education developed, so that we would understand what this is about. The God man, we talked in detail as much as possible about what happened when he made Adam. He took his intelligence, his spirit, put it in, released it, severed apart, made Adam a separate soul, created a soulless realm for Adam to dwell in to limit him. Okay? So that was first gen man. And that's what happened. Man, from that point on, came by that way. Well, that was first gen man. Okay? Man, spirit of man, without God on the inside. He started out anointed. He started out covered. And then he sinned. Because, why? Because to be sinless, you would have to have complete control of the entire environment at all times, 24/7. And nobody has that but Jesus. Nobody has that but God. Okay? You know, at some point in time, you're going to miss it. You will not, that you won't see in the scripture that says and that you will be equal with God. It ain't in there. Okay? You might become the 99%er, you know? And you'd be doing good if you get to 90. And I'm talking about after the resurrection, after your resurrected body. You know, I know somebody recently just got one, you know. Bless his name. Anyway. All right. So that was first gen man. Now we're going, then we come, Jesus comes to seal the deal, okay, because it was, God is building something here. Like I said, this was not a mistake. The first reference of Jesus coming is in Genesis 3:15. Okay, God exposed us to that revelation through the process called hermeneutics. I'm not going to get into all that. Amen. We learn these things because people, some of us are just curious, and we apply that curiosity to God, and he will answer. You know, my training day, this whole message, process, this system, this process that I go through is a result of a question. I ask God, why do you let the devil exist? Why did you kick him out? Never let him in the garden. When he clowned, he got you, kicked him out, you know. But he knew he wanted us to be his children. We're different than angels. Actually, even though we can't fly right now without an airplane or a parachute, we are really more powerful than angels. You have to get your mind to that point. We're going to get to that point. We're going to get to that point. That's why we're going to have 1,000 years to be with further training. Okay? All right. So now Jesus sealed the deal. Okay? And that is to make it clear that the Lord is God. And we are under him. We are subject to him. You know, I grew up in my family home. My father was the boss. He said, "When your opinion, there was no democracy. There was no voting." I see this old silly stuff on TV, kids. Man, some of these kids would never have made it through my generation. It would have been a lot of prayers with some MIA. I don't know what happened to him. I think he ran away or went to jail, one or two. Ain't no way, man. You didn't even make your face look like you were going to talk back to your parents. And talking about raise your hand? Oh, you, man, I know a guy, you know, he smart mopped his pants. His mama beat the slop out of him. They called the police, and the police, I was there, the police told him, you got what you deserve. Shoot, man, come on. Child welfare. Man, please. All right, so in God's house, God's business. He's the boss. He will always be. And you can't accept that concept? Well, hey, that part you can vote on. You can choose heaven or hell. You can't get there on your terms. Heaven has a prerequisite. Hell has one. You get to choose which one you want. I myself, let me tell you something else. This is something I thought about the other day. It came to my mind. Actually, it was more than the other day, but it's the guy. Imagine this. Sit down there, somebody that's probably 6,000 years old, died before the flood, ain't washed their behind in 6,000 years. Now, you know, if you ever smell somebody had like 3 days of butt funk, like I ran across somebody, you know, that funk can hang in the air. Imagine you're going to run into the worst part of hell is you have to breathe that 6,000-year-old butt funk on top of the heat. You know what? Ain't nothing worse than heat and funk. You're going to be there, and there's no getting out. Water, nothing cheese. Nothing pleasant about it. I will fight the fight of faith. Believe me. All right. Let me try to stay on track here. Now, I hope you get something from y'all. I ain't getting no emails in December now. Y'all got to talk to me. Ask a question or something. But I'm meeting new people, and I thank God for that. I met a young lady today. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm retired. Getting out of the bed ain't on my forte. But when the Holy Ghost get to talking and I got to move it, and this lady told me, this was a divine meeting because I had an answer for the question she had, and that's what Peter said. 1 Peter, I believe, 3:15, said, be prepared to give every man an answer to hope that lieth in you. Amen. Prepare yourself. Amen. You're going to be surprised. The number one preparation you must do is read the word, because Jesus, God promised to bring to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. Now, I can tell you from many testimonies, he does just that. All right. So we got first year man, Adam up to Jesus. Jesus comes in, introduces the power of the Holy Ghost. That Holy Spirit of God can't come in to just anybody. There's a process for that. We go back and we explain in the beginning of this series how with Aaron, amen, then the process was there was the washing, then the application of the blood, then the anointing, the washing, the application of the blood, then the anointing. Amen. And this is facilitated throughout Bible history. All right. And everybody back in the Old Testament did not have the Holy Spirit in them. Now, you can't, this is a person. He is a person. In Acts 13:2, you hear him talking in different other places. He talks. He talks because he is God. It's the equivalent of, I've just been told by T-Mobile that I got to have a SIM card. And without it, my phone, one of my iPads won't be able to communicate with the network. See, that's what God does. That's what the Holy Spirit. And I make this reference based on Romans 1:20, one of my favorite education scriptures. It said the invisible things of him being God, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world can be clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So he gives us references. And that's one of the things that God does with me is he gives me a lot of information. I'm able to use different things to reference with. Because we the first generation to see man in his complete cellular structure under a microscope. Okay? Then that's to help us understand the level of authority and power that we will. Believe me, your flesh ain't as simple as it looks, because when you depart from it, it has no ability. You give it ability. All right. So this is the process. And even with all this 6,000 of years of study and analyzation and questions and experience, we know so little. Let me tell you why. Because none of us yet could do what Jesus did. I tried to walk on water. Fortunately, it was a bathtub, so sinking was too far to go. You know, I was trying to swim through. You know, it ain't happened. You have to have complete molecular control of the environment. That's a power that you can't give to somebody that don't operate in love. It's just that simple. The love that it's talking about, remember this, whenever I refer to that term love, I'm talking about what specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, read it in various translations, pray about it, and that, so God will give you a revelation. He will take times and And people will tell you he'll give you references and examples of what he is talking about, because see, I can say so much, but God, I give you information, God will give you revelation. Amen. All right, so we don't wait for first year, man. Now Jesus comes on the scene, he succeeds in the cross. Okay, and we read last week where he blew on them. Same thing that God did with Adam. He blew on them. Okay? And he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. First group to receive it. Inside. See? Now, that's tremendous power. That's that SIM card from God that allows them access to the network. And even then, it hadn't fully taken effect. Okay? Because, you know, there was no manual. See, everybody that's in the Bible, write this down. Everybody that's in the Bible did not have a Bible. Meaning we have a complete. They were living out the New Testament. So there's a lot in that. They were living it out. We have the Bible in Bibles. I just recently purchased a copy of the original Bible that came out in 144 A.D. Think about that. And believe me, it reads the same. It don't have the italicized words in it, okay? So it reads a little different. But, you know, I'm an advocate that whenever you read the Bible, whenever you read a book about the Bible, whenever you watch a video about the Bible, pray before and after. Short prayer, Lord God, give me the revelation you desire me to have, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. God will either stop you, pause you in the middle of it. He do that in service when you're in church, you know. All right. All right. So Jesus now has applied the blood. Now, he said in Matthew chapter 28, let us read that. I should have had it up. All right. He said, go ye, therefore, teach all this. Go ye therefore, reading out of the KJV, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You know, and in Mark, he said, go and make disciples. That's very, very critical, because that means you need to provide them with revelation. I mean, information. Detailed. I mean, they had to study the world, and back word, everything was written on scrolls back then, so it wasn't that easy to carry them around. We get to carry. I got like 20 Bibles on my cell phone. I mean, I have no excuse, and it can talk to me while I'm driving. All right. So we done got through there. We done went through the middle. Now we to the point in Acts chapter 1. Jesus said, told them to go and tarry at Jerusalem, okay? And just as an FYI, because we're getting ready to go into Acts chapter 2, where the day of an event called the Day of Pentecost, which was really a traditional, I would say, a biblically authorized event of God, amen. I don't want to get into too much on that. Where we at on time? Oh, yeah, we very good. But it was a common Jewish event. Now, understand this, too, about Jews. The word Jew first appears in the book of Esther. It does not appear through the entire Bible. Abraham was not a Jew. He came from a culture, okay? And the reason I bring Abraham into the mention is because God made a promise to Abraham, amen, that still stands today. That's in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. All right. All right. So, but anyway, here, we're coming into Pentecost. That also, Pentecost was established under the laws that God gave Moses, which is part of the promise that God gave Abraham. And bottom line is, God is bringing the term Jew, that's what I'm going to say. Actually, just really, when you go back and you study some of the cultures, and there's a lot of that on Wikipedia. And throw Wikipedia a couple of dollars, and you know, anyway, but they provide some marvelous information. You read like the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all them ites. Well, their practices and their lifestyle was a particular way, much like it is today. Okay, they didn't. They just did outright child sacrifice, where they burned them alive, and sometimes they killed them brutally. Seriously, they would kill babies and all that and sacrifice them to their god Molech, okay? And so God made it clear that they were not to do that. And that's where the term, and it's amazing, just like Christian, the name Christian was given to Jews by Gentiles, same thing with the name Jews. They didn't name themselves Jews. They didn't say, we're the tribe of Judah, so we're going to be called Jews. No, they practiced their lifestyle, and when they referenced their lifestyle of who they were, and they knew who they were, that's how they got their name. Okay? And I'm speaking for the benefit of the new folks. So you won't find that. You have to go back to the book of Esther, which is a good book to read, but anyway. All right. So now you got this gathering at Jews in Jerusalem. All right? Now come God on the scene, and we're going to second-gen man, which we are today, Christians. Okay? Now, second-gen man. Now, is Jesus in camp? We done came down through the Old Testament, Old Agreement. God is beginning his new agreement, which begins with the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. And so now we have the day of Pentecost, and here comes the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, I'm in Acts chapter 2. I'm reading from the NIV, and we'll see how that works out. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound, like a blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came on to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, one, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay. Matter of fact, let me go and read the rest of this so it'll kind of help so that way I can explain it all together. All right. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews conversed in Judaism, proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine to drink. All right. And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Okay, and I'm going to stop right there. All right. So basically what you got is we describe a supernatural event. Understand what is going on from God's point of view. He's breaking the norm. Okay? He's just busting the norm right away because he's introducing another major cultural change in the relationship between him and man. You got to get that revelation. This is the thing about this. This occurs when you're submissive to God. There are no other circumstances for that. There's no alternative to that. And it marks submission to God. You got to be open-minded. Now, I would say in this particular incident, at this particular time, there was an overwhelming influence of the Holy Spirit. I mean, obviously, because you look at it, it says suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. That gives some identity that is clearly different. I remember years ago having a discussion with a man that he believed that if you didn't see no fire, you didn't have the Holy Spirit. And I mean, all I can say is you ain't God. you ain't God. You don't have a clue. You haven't experienced it. If you haven't experienced it, I've experienced, there are levels, I can tell you from experience, okay? There are levels of the presence of God that is different. I mean, there it can be to a place I have been where the presence of God, it will overwhelm your flesh, can't contain it. Believe me, and this is tremendous. It introduces to our spirit a revelation beyond what we know. This is why they begin to speak with other tongues. The spirit man has to grab control and begin to speak because your sensory mode is out of control. Case in point, University of Pennsylvania, you can look this up on the internet, conducted a test in which they put electrodes in the, however they do, brain tests, and they discovered that when a person is praying in tongues, the frontal lobe of the brain, which normally is active when we speak, goes practically silent, even though the person can be praying in the Holy Ghost at a very loud level, because it is being conducted. Now what is happening? Okay, you got to get the revelation. How does God operate? Through man. That's very vital. Very vital. The whole point is God has the power, but he operates through man, so there's this unison, that's the best I can think of, that occurs. He will not operate without man. Okay? When going back, when God was getting ready to blow up Sodom and Gomorrah, he went and spoke with Abraham. They held negotiations. Imagine this. God didn't have, he doesn't have to. He wants to. He wants to be in that type of relationship. It's a father-son relationship. We don't want to have to learn to understand that. He don't have to. He's God. He already knows what he wants. We have to bring our mind, because we get to choose to do with our mind what we want. They're not going to force you into this. One of the key points of this is that they were all in one accord. They were not just sitting somewhere and this happened. I guarantee you they were there praising God. This is how this concept in certain Pentecostal circles, where they developed this process called tarrying, okay? Yeah, first it says, Jesus said, tarry ye at Jerusalem. So we don't go to Jerusalem, but people tarry. Really what it is it's not tarrying. What you should be doing is praising God. You praise God. And you don't even have to praise God to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can just say, Lord, I believe I received, and just go with it. Because what are you doing? He's taking your faith to a different level. See, one, it's not something I could say you could run out and brag about. You can't exhaust yourself, because you don't really look too sane doing it. As you notice, they joked and said they drunk, because it sounds crazy, okay? Because sometimes I've known of a man of God, one that lives here in Detroit, was over in Africa, and he was conducting a service, and the Spirit of God, like I say, people that praise God, and I'm talking about in all denominations, you know, have experienced the presence of God. Amen. They just haven't been taught what happened. If you somewhere, let me tell you something about the presence of God. It has an impact. This is when you see grown, hard grown men just break down in tears. I've seen it. You've done it to me. You just can't control it. Whenever that happens, you need to have some quiet time. You need to read the word and have some quiet time, because if you're dealing with anything, I don't care if you're a CEO of a company and you need to advance the growth of the company, at that point, God may have introduced the revelation of a new product or a new system or a new process or whatever you need, to get done, run your business to the point that it glorifies God. And I hope some CEO hear that, okay? God never does anything for nothing. He's not entertaining himself. He never does anything for nothing. Every time that happens, I guarantee you he has done something. If it may be for the present, it may be for the future. He may have fixed something that happened in the past. Sometimes it's healing. Sometimes it's a multiple things at one time. But he never does anything. In my case, November 16, 1976, the first time I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he knocked out a drug addiction, kept me from becoming a hitman. He really did. Because if there was no God, I've met hitmen, and they know police can't catch them. You know, CIA can't catch them. The CIA pretty much let them run amok as long as they don't kill nobody here. But the point here, you're dealing with a God that doesn't have a birthday. Look at all these events. I remember I told you last time to read the book of Revelation and look at how crazy it is. Read the book of Ezekiel and Daniel. Look at how crazy it is. You got angels flying all over the place, wars in heaven. Reads like a Marvel DC comic book. And I know those are probably two different companies, but bear with me. Point of the matter is, when you watch a Marvel DC movie, that is what God is trying to prevent. He is not going to allow the evil people that you see in those movies run around through the universe. You have that kind of power. You may not believe it. Trust me. If it wasn't that way, why would God make us go through this 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge? I watched a lot of people. I kept telling people when Trump was elected on Facebook, it's a test. I know they thought I was joking. It's a test. I've had to go through that test. And you will keep going through it until you pass it. Now, what you gain from this, speaking in tongues, matter of fact, might as well, where we at? Oh, yeah, we in good time. This is empowerment. This is empowerment. And it is highly critical. Now, I watched these disasters on YouTube, and I recommend you should watch it because this messed up. We wouldn't have four volcanoes blow up in a year. I'm 70. That has never happened. But these are the last days. These are the events that Jesus said would happen. The tidal waves, what they call tsunamis, they're coming. They're going to start to get bigger. You know what? They can be stopped. If enough folk, if his people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, called by his name, humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked, twisted ideologies and pray, then God will hear from heaven and heal the land. The same power that Elijah used to stop the weather, to create a drought, and then call for the rain, we have access to that power. I'm telling you, I haven't had a blackout. I've had brownouts in my neighborhood. Okay, that's when the company turned the power down. But my power grid stays on. And I'm not some super saint that gets it right every time. I still miss it. Hey, I'm flesh, just like you. I'm like it says about Elijah. He had like passions. Okay, we're going to read that next week. He had like passions. That's why that's in the Bible. But now, he made it his business to try to do what God said. Well, what he had, he didn't even have all that I have. But he made it his business to do what God say do, how he say do, when he say do it. And that's the key to your life. That's what this is all about. Now, you may think, yeah, I got it down pat. God don't believe that. You're still here. And from the man of God that I know that went over and visited the other side, took a tour. There's some saints that went over there. Yeah, he's sitting in class. One of the chief teachers over there is Abraham. Okay. All right now. So you got to get your mind. This is the whole point because, listen, that 100-mile-an-hour wind, it went through Colorado. There's a woman out there, Marilyn Hickey. I doubt if it passed through her neighborhood, and if it did, I bet your house still standing. She know her authority in God. I saw a house standing. I would love to know what that person did because that thing went around them. We have that kind of power. God let us do, and as we are in this is called the end of a dispensation. I don't want to teach you on that. There are teachings on that. You need to understand that because this is what happened. In the beginning of an dispensation, at the end of a dispensation, the judgment of God is quicker, harder, harsher. Quicker, harder, harsher. Quicker, harder, harsher, because he want to get a point in. He's trying to get a point across. Okay, case in point. In this dispensation, which begins right here, what would be the grace dispensation, also known as the church age, in Acts chapter 5, which we may get to that next week, these two people lied. Somebody lied to a pastor. Something is coming today. They dropped dead right after lying to him. And people steal their tithes all the time. Don't drop dead. You know, if everybody now drop dead for not paying their tithe, not keeping the commitment they made to God, I think there'd be a whole lot more folk making that commitment. But listen, you got to understand this whole world because there's this other side. There's Satan. He understands this world. He's the one promoting. Listen, let me give you the details. This is very important. That tsunami that hit the West Coast, Satan sent that. He wanted to do more damage. So his parents might have woke some folk up there. They might be getting tired of getting burnt out. Because God, this power, that his Holy Ghost power that came on the day of Pentecost, why do you think that happened? If that wasn't going to give you some greater level of authority, okay, why would God waste his time doing that? Think about that. See, we don't want to venture out there because it's not going to glorify us because we don't get to control it. You have to be in a sensitivity level. I recently had an experience. I had to keep track of the time. Recently, just this weekend, well, I wanted to do something, and God wanted something different. He actually spared somebody's life because I was going to put a round in them anyway. But I had to learn to obey. I have to learn to, it's a constant. It's a constant. You will be learning that. And that's what this is. Now with the Holy Spirit, listen, this is very key. In verse 4, it said they were all filled, dominated, filled, with something filled. If I'm filled, if I'm filled, he's in control. And you, if you get filled, you can be unfilled. Trust me, you don't stay full. You know, I was just responding to somebody today on Facebook. My prayer yesterday don't count for today. Now, it may have started some yesterday, but today is a new day. It's like there are new mercies, I believe, in Lamentations 3:23. New mercies. The reason there's new mercies these days, because yesterday was yesterday. Okay, today is today. See, there are rules that apply to this thing. And there are more revelation getting ready to come forth. But this here one is beyond the human mind. This is what we get into the supernatural. But we get this, the understanding why. Why would God, of all things, choose this method? Look who chose this. Now, mind you, this was not held by the Council of Nicaea. This wasn't a group of men decided, well, this is what we going to do. We going to speak in tongues. Man, would not believe me. If 98%, even in churches where speaking in tongues is accepted, I would venture to say probably only about 30% of the body of Christ in that church does so. Because that's the place of submission. When you talk about the tongue, that's the place of submission that people don't want to surrender. Because, again, they want to know why. You know, why? See, I had learned that about fasting. It ain't a whole lot of information about fasting in the Bible. I just know when I'm arguing with myself that it got to be God because I don't be wanting to. I don't want to go without the meal. I'll be trying to like, well, that ain't in the Bible. Yeah, right. Why are you arguing with yourself? Somebody, that's probably for somebody right now. Why are you arguing with yourself? Let me tell you what happened. Your spirit is running your body, okay? When you don't have, when it does not have to be involved with the process of digesting your food, it can use that energy and effort and intellect for other things like training you, teaching you, giving you revelation. That's what I, that's my estimation. If you want scripture on that, I'm, you know, I can only give you revelation. I mean, Romans 1:20. All I know is when I fast for just like praying, before I do this broadcast, I pray in the spirit. I pray every day for about an hour, but when I do this broadcast, a half hour, an hour before. Now, and I can tell the difference because there have been times when I didn't. and I did that to see what would be the difference. See, again, I don't know the fullness, Pastor. There's no scientific study of my spirit outside my body where they analyze like they can tell what's going on. They just recently put a pig heart in somebody, but they had to analyze the cellular structure of the pig's heart and the human heart and try to figure out a way to manipulate the DNA to allow that event to happen. How long it's going to last, I don't know. So here, God is adding his DNA of the Holy Ghost to my spirit DNA to bring about yet 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I'm going to read that, and that is going to be where we close, because this is what happened. This is what happened. And this is where you need it says in verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way from a worldly point of view, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And this is from God. He reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And now, see, and that's what our life is about. The fact that you did not ask to be born is irrelevant. I mean, it's relevant, but okay, you stuck with a decision. Many of us have presented that argument to God, like, you know, I didn't ask to come here. And you see that in people's attitude, like, I deserve to go to heaven because I didn't start this mess. My pappy brought me here. That's on him. So, but it don't work that way, because you are a spirit with a mind, will, and emotion, and you live in a body. And if you do not choose Christ, God will not let you run through the universe. Once you come up out of that body, he has to lock you down. And where he locks you down is 6,000-year-old butt funk along with heat. Somebody told me it's only about 98 degrees, but it's constant, never cools down. And so you got heat and butt funk for the rest. You're an eternal being. The fact that when God first made Adam, everybody come from Adam is an eternal being because they came from God. You're an eternal being. You don't get to go back. You don't get to go back to nothing. If you were here, trust me. Take the deal. It's a no-lose situation. I realize the power that this idolatry that we have, Satan has promoted, has a strong impact on us. Idolatry is these things that we see that are all temporary. Look around your life. Sit back and ponder. You see nothing that is permanent except you. You're going to be permanent. You get to choose. God did not have to let you make a choice. He could have said, like, hey, that was your daddy's doing. He shouldn't have brought you here. You're going to hell. But he didn't do that. He said, listen, I got plan A. He don't have a B plan when it comes to salvation. So I don't redeem myself. Because, listen, we were going to fail. We 99%ers after you die. You know, but he understand the capacity that we have. And he, if you ask him, what I'm saying is, well, he will multiply that. He will take it to deeper levels. He will use references around you to help you understand. This is magnificent. We are at the close of the age. There's nothing you can do to change that. We are at the close. Trust me, we are at the close. Go on YouTube, put in last days. You'll get lots of videos of people who have a ministry to make us aware. That's how God does business. He's not just trying to this ain't scare tactics. Yeah, I mean, come on, 6,000 butt funk, 6,000-year-old butt funk. That ought to scare you. Believe me, I remember being in Kroger's one day, and I listen. Pray for people like that. When you just smell them, pray for them because they're suffering from depression. The first thing happens when people are depressed, they let go of their hygiene. But anyway, so now, so that you be secure and safe, God has this offer. And all you have to do is pray this simple prayer. Say, Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, I believe that Jesus is your son. And I believe that you sent him to die for our sins. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I believe that I am saved. And I believe that I am born again. And I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And if you backslid, just say, Lord, I was deceived and tricked by the devil, but I'm coming back to you. Because I thank you for loving me, and I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope I gave you a little bit of information. I'm going to stay on this because basically the entire Bible is all about this. It is not a bunch of separate stories. You just have to know how to connect it. It's just like pieces of the puzzle. I've been blessed to sit under one of the finest teachers that God ever put on the planet. And remember this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. God is love, and prayer is God trusting you with his power. Shalom. See you next week.
It's going down. I know you think you the one, homie. But can't nobody escape gravity.
It's going down.
Yes, sir, it's about to go down. It's savage to the ground, but I don't think it's gonna slow down. It's fouling, well, it's fouling. This building's about to blow down. We just going in circles, we don't get enough to go round. What happens when your life is never broke? A storm is coming, can't nobody let me go. It's here for trout, but I gotta let you know, it'll help you look beyond this world like a telescope. Yeah, you can stack your money in the air, till it's raining honeys all around your atmosphere. You can build a mansion sky high, still can't nobody see the roof when they drive by. But if they hit you like a drive-by, and then that stuff you acquire, you gotta say bye, bye. I ain't gon' lie. You may go down in history, but everything will go down eventually. Everything is falling.
Everything is falling. Everything is falling. It's going down. It's going down.
Down, rather coming down with it. Cold world, condition of sin. Here is the illness, the sickness. Affliction so erotic, sickness so hypnotic. Desiring this virus even though we know it's toxic. Godless, hollering to God, that is counterfeit. We live from deep party of the dealing deposit. The darkness is flowing from my nostrils. We're so psychotic, we still partying like we not sick. YOLO, homie, so pour another glass. Roll another one up, let's put on another mask. Another bundle of cash, another shorty to bag. Same thing every day, groundhog under grass. Man, turn the music up, cause I don't wanna hear the truth. Got the things I'm living for instead. Jesus standing, coming down.
I'm not. There's a time for everything. A time to be born and a time to die. There's a time when the world as we know it will end. When that is, I don't know. But it is going down.
Listen, it's going down.
Holla
mayday. Them fiends looking for candy and them dealers got that payday. I seen them child soldiers, they was loading up some AKs. Ain't plaguing modern warfare. Don't you know ain't a warfare? Scales never even. But they be triple beam. They keep them fiends fiending. The devil's face scheming. And dreamers steady dreaming. But ain't no hope here. Ain't no satisfaction in money, women, and clothes here. Oh yeah. Them Christians and Christian not a shade. I came from young men. Say the stuff we gotta say. Cause everything is falling. It can happen any day. Your world come tumbling down and ain't no way to get away. You ain't never gonna stay. You ain't hearing from the great. If I die before I wake, I pray to the Lord your soul will take. All these drunken nights are empty like the bottles that we break. And you can't get high enough to escape.